Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 1st. St. Paul, in the book of Romans, begins a theological treatise. And he has a lot to choose from there. Golly, in the first three chapters, he has mined the depths of the Old Testament prophetic scriptures, the Psalms, and various other places to put together a biblical case for man's sin. And when he goes to make the case for God's justification of the sinner, does he go to Isaiah? No. Does he go to the Psalms? No, not right away. Where does he go? He goes to an obscure little prophet, a little book in the Old Testament called Habakkuk, and he pulls out one line. The just shall live by faith. And that may be the only few words of the prophet Habakkuk you know. Who was he, and why does Paul go there in order to make the case for the justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone? Joining us to begin his weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament today, the book of Habakkuk, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Well, it's good to be here with you, Todd.
Is Paul just cherry-picking that verse in order to make his case? In other words, just kind of finding a verse that suits his purposes, going against Habakkuk's purposes when he originally wrote those things?
Well, it's funny that you ask that, because in our American cultural Christianity context, we have this idea where people are cherry-picking passages all over the Bible. And so if everybody's doing it now, well, of course, Paul must have been doing it then. I mean, that's a thought. If we do it now, why couldn't he have done it then? But the fact is, he didn't do it then. What Paul and all the apostles in the New Testament did is they made it clear the same Holy Spirit that was speaking through the prophets is the same Holy Spirit speaking the same message about the Christ through the mouth of the apostles. So when Paul takes us to Habakkuk, he's not proof texting. He's not just cherry picking and saying, hey, these few words kind of sound like what I'm saying, so I'm just going to rip it out of the context and paste it into my book. Instead, what he's doing is he says, this is exactly what the prophet Habakkuk said. And then he's going to summarize the entire book of Habakkuk in those few words.
So introduce us in a general way. It's not difficult because it's not a huge book, but introduce us to Habakkuk. What are we dealing with here?
Well, what's amazing with the prophet Habakkuk is this gives to us this understanding of God using instrumental means, that he is going to use people to speak his word. He's going to put a man into a prophetic office to speak to the people to reveal divine truth. But at the same time when God does this, the prophet also stands before God, and he then speaks on behalf of the people. So you see this prophet Habakkuk, a very real person, troubled, living in a fallen world, waiting for the promise of the kingdom of God to come and the anointed one, the Messiah, to arrive. But yet, when he looks around, he doesn't see it. So the prophet Habakkuk is written about the time of the 605 B.C., right about that time when King Nebuchadnezzar is marching in on Jerusalem. And so you've already seen the northern kingdom fall, and now all of a sudden before your eyes, here comes the king of Babylon to destroy, it looks like, the southern kingdom and all hope that there is. So you have Habakkuk, a man of God, trusting in the promises of God, in the midst of affliction, suffering, things that just don't seem to add up to what God has promised.
Is it fair enough to say that Habakkuk is, in terms of a witness of history, watching the God's final small f judgment, small j, on his people with Nebuchadnezzar's conquest?
Yes, so what takes place here is you see Habakkuk, he's looking at the scenery. He's seeing what's taking place. He's seeing that there's sin and there's wickedness. And so he's crying out to God and saying, hey, I see sin and I see wickedness. And it almost appears to me that your law is paralyzed. I mean, this is how he opens up the book, and he says, justice is perverted. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And you seem to be idle in all of this, God. So where are you? And so God is going to give him the answer. You want justice? Well, you're going to get justice. You're seeing people plunder other people? Well, they're going to get plundered. I mean, this is what's going to happen when there's sin and God brings in instrumentally some type of a method through which God will judge the sin. So vengeance is the Lord's, but then he uses an instrument to bring out that vengeance, which will actually be a foreign king to judge the people of God. So one nation to judge another nation.
It opens as just an outright, no introduction, kind of lament, beginning by saying the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Expand on that.
Well, again, what's beautiful about this is not a cardboard or a plastic saint. I mean, this is real flesh and blood, just like you or I, that we're living in a fallen world, we have God's promises, and we're waiting. We're waiting for God to act, and we're looking around, and we're wondering, well, when is God going to act? How long is this going to happen? And so you see Habakkuk with this heart that is just, I mean, it's so crushed right now because he's a prophet. He's been telling everybody that the kingdom's coming. He has been in line with Moses and all the prophets before him proclaiming the Christ. And yet it doesn't look like a son of David is going to bring the eternal kingdom at all. It looks like all kingdoms are about to just come undone.
So is he, lest we misunderstand Habakkuk and what he has to say, because we're dealing with passages here, a lament from the first chapter of the book and the assurance from the second chapter of the book. Separated by, well, we skip some verses here, which you'll have to explain to us. Are we seeing the prophet Habakkuk hopeless for the future?
Well, I think that he has the hope, but he's just like all of us, just wondering. I mean, you get the devil wants you to lose the hope. So he has the hope, but he needs to hear it from God. So that he's about to fall into despair here where the devil wants him, but God, of course, wants to bring him out of despair and give to him hope. The devil wants to take him into doubt, but God's the one who wants to strengthen his faith. So he's asking God. So what's also beautiful here is he goes to the source. He goes to Yahweh and says, Yahweh, you tell me. Experience tells me something else, but I want to know the truth, and you are the truth. You are the one who brings the truth and reveal this truth to me. And so Yahweh then answers him. And what's amazing in his answer is Yahweh says, you know, if you think things are bad, you wouldn't even believe what's coming next. And so he's talking about how the Assyrians came, and next he's going to bring the Babylonians. And unless God's going to reveal this to you still, you're going to find this hard to believe because it seems like this is contrary to all the promises of the kingdom. In fact, that's the same passage that will be quoted in Acts chapter 13 in the New Testament when Peter's talking about where God is acting and where God is fulfilling his promises in a very strange way, but yet it's God's way. So he might act strangely at first, but that's in order to bring the punishment so that he can do his proper work, which is mercy and forgiveness, remembering the promise.
So as a matter of principle, you've raised something here that always holds us in good stead whenever dealing with passages of Scripture, be they clear, or as in the case of Habakkuk, perhaps a bit more obscure, law and gospel. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so that we have both of these coming at us, and you have God's word revealed to us. He shows us forth this strange or alien work, as Luther would say it, which of course brings punishment. And this is going to be God using the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon is going to be God's tool to bring punishment upon God's own people, and God is the one who is doing this. And he says, I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. And so this is this strange work to reveal sin for the sake of the proper work, that gospel, the promise to reveal the Savior. So the people of God have rejected God, they have gone astray, and now judgment is going to come because of sin, and things must be destroyed first before they can be rebuilt, and the Messiah will come to bring in the kingdom.
I get the sense from Habakkuk's complaint, and it's not so much, oh, why are the Chaldeans coming down upon us, or that kind of thing. He seems to understand that this is judgment, but he doesn't seem to understand how the judgment fits within, like you say, God's word of judgment, serving his word of mercy and forgiveness. He doesn't seem, at least at first, to grasp that part of it.
Yeah, and I think because, again, it puts us into the realm of reality. So you have the promise, and all this theology isn't just an abstract truth out there. This is real, concrete truth for the individual in our each and everyday life as we live here in a fallen world. So for Habakkuk, he has the promise. He knows the Messiah is coming. He knows that God's going to do what God says he's going to do. But yet he asks the question, how long is it going to be before you start doing this? So chapter 1 begins by saying, how long, O Lord, are you going to allow this to happen? God says, I'm doing something even stranger. Not only the Assyrians, but the Babylonians are coming. And then Habakkuk again says, yes, O Lord, you are my rock, which of course takes us all the way back to Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, about how the Lord is the rock, the one who is the refuge in all of this affliction and pain and turmoil. In Deuteronomy 32, that's where the Lord says, I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other, and there is no one that can deliver out of my hand. So the Lord takes Habakkuk back to the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. Habakkuk confesses this and says, yes, you're my rock, you're holy, you're the eternal one. But then he goes again at the end of the chapter and says, so how long?
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll delve further into both the complaint of Habakkuk. Pastor Ketchelmeyer has already mentioned it. He says it's like your law, your word is paralyzed. And then God's response. Christ in the Old Testament, the beginning of a series weekly with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer in Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. We'll be right back.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Folks, I've noticed a lot lately, and I'm coming at this from a kind of a longer perspective of having been a pastor for some decades, Christians that may have had their doubts, their confusions about the doctrine of creation, about a six-day creation, about whether or not the book of Genesis is telling us the real story when it comes to how the world came to be, how we came to be. They may have had those doubts in the past, but Christians are a little more bold to express those doubts and those that confusion today. That's why I've written an article for the Issues Etc. journal called More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. I wrote an article about 10 years ago where I asked, I think, 9 questions, and I've added significantly to those questions, directing the so-called old earth creationists back to the text of the Bible, where he must struggle with the contradiction between his beliefs and what the Bible has to say. Just part of what's in the Issues Etc. journal. There's also an excellent article in our Wittenberg Trail feature. You can find out all about that and a list of all the congregations that are so kind to support Issues Etc. in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Subscribe for free at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button. Click on that, enter your email address, and we will send you absolutely free the latest Issues Etc. journal. We're talking about Christ in the Old Testament today, Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Brian, you said that Habakkuk kind of goes back and forth on this. He persists in his question as to why. And you mentioned earlier in our conversation that the thing he says that kind of stings the most is, so the law is paralyzed. Is he speaking there not only about the law but also the gospel, in essence the promise or the covenants of God?
Well, this word in the Hebrew, of course, is Torah, and Torah means instruction. So it's the instruction of God, what God has instructed his people with. Now, in the wider sense, the instruction of God includes both the commandments, what God requires and forbids, and also the promises all fulfilled in the coming one, which is the Messiah, the son of David, who will crush the serpent's head and bring the eternal kingdom. So it seems like it's paralyzed. I mean, just the image of a paralyzed. God gives his word, which is the Torah, and it's kind of almost stalled. It's paralyzed. It doesn't seem to be working the way that it should. You know, you got this idea that we're the chosen people. We've had the promise that the son of David will reign on the throne. And now we get these lousy kings on the throne, and we get foreign kings who keep kicking them off the throne.
So is Habakkuk's complaint, this seems beautiful the way it's put together, if you actually notice the words that he uses. He uses law, justice, righteous, and he talks about justice again. Is in his complaint, isn't he kind of handing God exactly the ideas that God is going to answer him with the gospel?
Exactly, because when we talk about the holiness of God, which Habakkuk will bring up, that God alone is holy, God is the just one, and God will bring justice. God is the righteous one, and God will bring righteousness, which all ties into this promise, which is actually then profound in chapter 2 when you get to verse 4, that the just shall live by faith.
Well, then let's answer the question that I raised a little bit earlier. The text as we have it in the reading for this Sunday in Habakkuk skips the bigger part of Habakkuk's complaint. Is that just cut for time? Why is that? What's your explanation?
Well, we're trying to do the same thing that Paul is doing. We're just trying to get to the point. We want to proclaim God's word, and so therefore we want to zero in like a laser and say, this is the whole point of Habakkuk. We're going to end on this note, that the righteous shall live by faith. That faith is not just this one-time act of the will, that you believed in Jesus once when you were a child. Faith is this whole life of trusting in these promises of God in a fallen world, in the midst of experiences that seem to be contrary. It doesn't seem like you're favored with God for the sake of Jesus, because all of these afflictions and issues are happening to you as an individual, the church, and even the nation and the world.
What is God's answer, in essence, from which Paul will draw this famous, the just shall live by faith? What is his full answer to the prophet Habakkuk?
Well, the full answer basically boils like this. God is king. He's in control. Trust him. He knows exactly what he's doing. He will bring everything to fruition at the proper time. The end will come in the Lord's timing. But in the meantime, you are to trust him. believe what he says he's doing. So that all these events in our lives, we realize, are actually these opportunities for us to grow in our faith. So that we are being exercised, if you will. That we are growing in our hope. So that we are actually using these opportunities that we have as the time to call upon the Lord in our day of trouble. So what's striking about Habakkuk is he's dealing with the people of God, not in flowery, everything's going the way I want it to, but in turmoil, death, sin, and wickedness just unleashed. And so Paul, when he quotes this, he does this both in his letter to the baptized in Rome and his letter to the baptized in Galatia, in which they're having persecutions, they're having suffering, and they're dealing with affliction, and they're learning from Paul to be patient, that the Lord is working together for the good in all things for those who love him. And, of course, this is also quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, which is a very important place to see it.
What is it there? That's less well known.
Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, it's in verse 38. And again, all three of these places in the New Testament, it's in the midst of God's people waiting for the kingdom. So just like in Habakkuk's day, where they were waiting for the king to come, well, now he's come. But now in the church, in the New Testament, we're waiting for the second coming. So we're waiting for the one who is to come. So like Habakkuk and the apostles and pastors today, we're proclaiming to the people to be patient, to wait for the Lord, to trust his promises, that he will fulfill what he says. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, not only does it quote Habakkuk 2:4, but it also quotes Habakkuk 2:3, which is very important to understand.
Okay, so for Habakkuk hearing those words, the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Pointing forward to the promise of Christ, by which the just shall live by faith. Are you saying that when it's quoted again in Hebrews, it's pointing us back to the same promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ?
Exactly. But one of the deficiencies that we have in our English language, when we look at most of our English translations, it will abstract this Habakkuk 2:3 and just say, it will come, it will happen, wait for it. But literally, it's he. We're waiting for him, the one who is to come. So you actually beautifully see this in the New Testament when we translate from the Greek, that he will come, the coming one will come. So that we're waiting for him. Just like in the days of Jesus when people came up to him and said, are you the coming one? Or should we wait for another? I mean, you see that in Matthew's gospel where you have the disciples of John going up and saying, are you the coming one? In Matthew chapter 11. And then later on, Jesus says in Matthew 23, I will not come again until you say, blessed is he who comes. The coming one in the name of the Lord. So these are direct, specific passages about the one who is to come to bring the kingdom.
One question on the translation of the big verse. The verse is, I'm looking at it in the English translation in front of me. But the righteous shall live by his faith. The just shall live by faith. It's quoted in various different ways. What's the best way for us to understand those famous words?
Well, faith, again, is not a one-time act. And I think this is where we get into problems in America, because we have this concept that, well, if you just one time in your life believe in Jesus, then you're saved and everything is fine for you. Well, faith is an entire life of faithfulness. And it's this fidelity, hearing God's promise over and over again, setting your eyes upon Jesus throughout your life, realizing that he works together for the good in all these afflictions, all these troubles, all the pains and the crosses that each of us are individually, uniquely given. And so it's this life of faith. It's this faithfulness, meaning that you continue to walk listening to God, listening to the promise, gathering to receive the sacrament of the altar where you're assured, here's the body of Jesus given for you, here's the blood of Jesus shed for you, and here's the coming one coming to you right now.
So when we hear those words, the righteous shall live by faith, should these words assure us in our present day, and if so, how, with about 30 seconds?
Well, throughout the whole Old Testament, the understanding of the righteous are those who hear the word of God and continue to walk in faith, continue to walk in a fallen world, setting your eyes not on the things before you in experience, but setting your eyes upon Jesus, the answer to all of our spiritual problems, the one who will come again, who will take us out of this veil of tears. So it's this walking with the Lord, listening and hearing him, continuing to abide in him, and he abides in us.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next week, we'll talk about Christ in the Old Testament, and we'll be talking with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about Ruth and Naomi. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. It's a pleasure.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, and you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, please designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Lutheran Public Radio. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues Etc. You can designate those dollars online before October 31st, and Thrivent will donate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page. Click on that, and you'll be directed how to direct your Thrivent Choice dollars to Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks in advance. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of recent terrorist attacks in Kenya and Pakistan. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. It was true when God answered the prophet Habakkuk in the midst of the worst days that the people of God had yet seen. The complete destruction of their nation and of their temple. It was true when Habakkuk heard that answer from the Lord after his complaint. The righteous live by faith in his promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is true today. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.